This is God's word. Not Pastor Redman's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we thank you today. As we set aside this day to honor and celebrate mothers, Lord, we thank you that you can be a mother to the motherless. Because when Eve was created, she didn't have a mother. But you guided her through motherhood. And so, Lord, we thank you for mothers today all across the world and in our church and those who are watching. And I pray that the word today will encourage them, strengthen them, produce hope in them, and let them know that you are always there on their behalf. And Lord, I thank you for everybody, because what's going to be said is going to bless us. And I step aside so the Spirit of God can minister life through me in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I don't typically do holiday-based sermons. But I have something for you today that I believe is going to bless you. I know it's going to bless all mothers. And even though you may not be a mother, the message today is principle-based. And so I know that it's going to bless you. Amen. So if you're taking notes or if you're following the notes we gave you, the message title today is Lessons from the Widow. Everybody say lessons from the widow. Amen. And our main text is found in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it's about a widow. But here's what I'm going to do. Before we read the text, I want to give you a quick biblical perspective of who a widow was and her plight in society. Now, I think doing this is going to help us understand what a widow was actually going through, so that we can, you know, not just relate, but that we can have some compassion. Say compassion. So in biblical days, women who lost their husbands, of course, because of that, it left them in a very vulnerable state in society. In fact, most of the time, the loss of their husbands left them without provision and protection. Everybody say provision and protection. And I hear some of y'all thinking, well, that's what my ex did to me. Left me without provision and protection. But most of the time, the loss of their husbands caused them to normally face economic hardship and in some cases, social marginalization. So they typically had to rely, listen, church, on charity or rely on their family to help them if their family was willing to do that. As a matter of fact, their adult children in most cases helped them if they had any. In fact, in one scenario in the Bible, one widow's husband who had passed away left her in debt. And the creditor of the debt came to claim her husband's as payment. So widows, you know, in the Bible had a lot to deal with. And in a lot of cases, especially biblical days, they were what we would call gleaners. Now, gleaning was a practice of gathering leftovers from the field that actually belonged to somebody else. In fact, we find this example in the book of Ruth, where Naomi and Ruth, they both were widows. And in this scenario, Ruth told Naomi, go out into the field of someone that is a distant relative and hopefully they'll let you glean. And watch this. Ruth got her husband from gleaning. Amen. Even the New Testament references how God wants widows treated. In fact, in several occasions in the New Testament, sometimes when we're reading the Bible, we kind of look over this stuff. But there's so many mentions of widows in the New Testament. I'm going to read Acts chapter 6 verse 1 just to give you an example before we move on. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Hopefully they'll put the verse on the screen. But it says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Everybody say rumblings. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So, the Bible says, the 12 decided, hey, we need to call a meeting for all the believers. And so they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. A food pantry shouldn't outweigh the word of God. In verse 3, he says, and so the brothers, let's select 7 men and watch them now. The criteria for these 7 men, they need to be well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Wow, just to pass out food? Think about this. If God had criteria to pass out food for men to be well respected, full of the Spirit and wisdom, how much criteria should a man of God be teaching the word? He says, we'll give them the responsibility. Then we, as the apostles, can spend time in prayer and teaching the word. So we can see that God values widows due to their plight in life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to dive into the word right now because I have 7 lessons from this widow's life we're going to read that I know will bless you and hopefully help you to apply in your own life. So the main text is 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 8. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, but let me warn you in advance, we're going to read a lot of scripture. Now you say, Pastor Evan, why are you doing all that reading? See, here's the problem with today's church. There are more opinions being stated than the word being read. And let me tell you something about the word. The word is like a sperm. It'll pregnate you if you let it. One word from God can change your life. So why should I allow my opinion to override what the word of God is saying? Amen. Watch this now, 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 8, it says, then the Lord said to Elijah, I want you to go. Now Elijah was a prophet. He says, I want you to go, Elijah, in a village of Zarephath, which is close to the city of Sidon. And he says, Elijah, I have instructed, everybody say instructed. Now, when you look at the King James Version, it says commanded. And when you look the original Hebrew word up, it means like ordained. He says, you know what, Elijah? I've given instructions. I've ordained. In fact, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you. Wow, the audacity of God. To take a woman whose plight in life was taking handouts from her family and society. Some of these widows did not have enough food or provisions, but God is sending a man of God to a woman who may not have enough for her own life. And so the Bible says he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and so he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, the Bible says, he called her and said, okay, by the way, can you bring me a bite of bread too? But she says, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. Everybody say, she was having a hard time. She says, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil, Crisco, by the way, in the bottom of the jug. I added that. That was my opinion. Praise the Lord. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. And then my son and I will what, church? Die. But Elijah said to her, listen, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what you just said, but make me a little bread first. And then use what's left over to prepare a meal for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. There will always, everybody say always.
Always.
Look at your neighbor and say, he said always.
Always.
There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her whole family continued to eat for many days. And there was always, everybody say always.
Always.
Touch your other neighbor and say there's that word again.
Yes.
He said there will always be enough flour and olive oil left in your containers. Just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. And sometime later the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, oh man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come to here to me, to point out my sins and kill my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her. He carried him up the stairs to his room where he was staying and he laid the body on his bed. And then Elijah cried out to the Lord, oh Lord my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her house to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, oh Lord my God, please let this child's life return. And the Lord heard. Everybody say the Lord heard. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer and the life of the child returned and he was revived. And verse 23 says, then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. And then the woman told Elijah, now I know for sure that you are a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you. That's why you need a man of God in your life. Amen. So let's look at now quickly seven lessons from the widow. Seven lessons from the widow. And I'm just going to jump right in here because I don't want to run out of time this morning. Here's lesson number one. Your relationship status won't stop God from providing for you. I'm going to say that again. Your relationship status will not stop God from providing for you. Pastor Evan, I'm a single mother. I'm going to say it again. Your relationship status won't stop God from providing for you. Well, Pastor Evan, I'm a widow too, and I'm on a fixed income. I'm going to say it again. Your relationship status won't stop God from providing for you. Well, Pastor Evan, you don't know what's going on in my life. I'm divorced. I'm going to say it one more time. Your relationship status won't stop God from providing for you. Well, Pastor Edmund, I'm a single dad and I don't even get, you know, child support from my baby's mother. I'm going to say it for the last time. Your relationship status won't stop God from providing for you. Can you say amen to that, church? See, God knew that this widow had a need. And because God saw that she had a need, you know what God decided to do? He decided to send Elijah. And although God sent Elijah to feed, you know, for this woman to feed him, listen to this now. She needed him more than he needed her. You say, well, why you say that, Pastor Evan? The first part of 1 Kings chapter 17 that we didn't read, right before that, God sent Elijah to the brook Cherith and told him, I want you to go there. And while you're there, when you're thirsty, drink from the brook. But when you're hungry, I've already assigned some ravens to bring you food. So God had already proved to Elijah, he can provide for him supernaturally. So Elijah really didn't need that woman. That woman really needed Elijah. Say amen to that. Everybody say, my relationship status won't stop God from providing for me. Listen, he will be Jehovah Jireh, your provider, when you need him. He will be father to the fatherless and mother to the motherless when you need him. If you need peace, he will be Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. If you need healing, the Bible says he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Your relationship status won't stop God from providing for you. Here's lesson number two. Obeying God is your lifeline. I'm going to say that again. Obeying God is your lifeline. Everybody say, obeying God.
Obeying God
is my lifeline. And here's what I've discovered. We treat obeying God as an option. But if you really see that obeying God is a lifeline for you, you will not see it as an option. You will see it as a necessity. Because every time you obey God, whatever blessing He had assigned to you will be released into you. Did you know that prophetic instructions are given before most miracles even take place? Based on the story, the man of God came and he asked her to give him something to eat. And it was at that moment she had a decision to make. Do I obey God or do I remain fearful? Everybody say fear.
Fear.
Fear. Because fear is the underlying issue regarding most problems. And because now, remember the text told us that God gave her instructions to feed Elijah. So this is not a man that just rolled up off the street and asked her for something to eat. No, no, no. He had instructed her before Elijah ever got there, which means that she knew what God wanted her to do before the man even showed up. But the Bible says he told her to fear not. So here's a take-home statement that I want you to write down and think about through the week. You either obey or be afraid. Everybody say, you either obey or be afraid. Amen. Either obey or be. Why are we fearful to obeying God? You know why we're fearful? Because we feel when we obey God, we lose. Can I tell you a secret today? You don't lose when you obey God. You win because when you obey God, God then rewards you for your obedience. Let's look at now lesson number 3. We're going to roll right through these. Y'all are doing good. Giving will always, everybody say always. Giving will always sustain your living. I'm going to say that again. Giving will always sustain your living. See, in the natural, it looked as if Elijah was taking advantage of this widow when God was actually wanting her to give to live. And it's sometimes in the difficulties of life. And I'm not just talking about giving of money. I'm talking about giving of resources. I'm talking about giving of heart. I'm talking about giving of love. I'm talking about giving of forgiveness. Sometimes we don't see that in giving we live. God, when He created everything He created everything to give. And anything that doesn't give dies. And that's what would have happened to this widow woman. Because we read the story, had she not given to the man of God, she already had told him, we're going to eat this last meal and die. So had she not given, she would have not lived. So you can live out of your hand and run out. Or you can give and then live out of God's hand, which never runs out. So I'm going to give you now a take-home thought. Everybody say, Yeah, see, a take-home thought and a take-home statement are different. Here's a take-home thought. Never let the fear of lack keep you from knowing that God's got your back. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper, not the stingy, not the fearful, but the generous will prosper. And then the ones who are generous, those who refresh others, watch this, will themselves be refreshed. See, a lot of times people want to make giving logical. And I'm not saying it's not logical. Giving can be logical. I mean, it logically makes sense to a farmer. When you put a seed in the ground, you can logically expect if you take care of that seed for it to get in the ground and grow a harvest. Can you say amen to that? So giving can be logical, but giving is also spiritual. It's natural, but it's also supernatural. And that's what happened when this widow woman gave. God took her obedience to his word and he multiplied the little that she had, which caused her to live and not die. Giving and properly managing, because if you're struggling today in the area of resources, what I'm about to say right now, I ought to charge you for. Now look at your name and say, does he have the audacity? I ought to charge you for this, but I'm not going to charge you. This is free because it's Mother's Day. Watch this. Giving and properly managing is your ticket out of struggle and your doorway into abundance. I'm going to say that again. Giving and properly managing what you have after you give is your ticket out of struggle and your doorway into abundance, because God said if you are faithful over little, I will cause you be a ruler over much. Amen. It's 10:05 and I'm on number four. Praise the Lord. Here's number four. I'm going to give y'all some change today. Always let your spiritual perspective override your flesh directives. Amen. Now just hunt your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you on this one. Now look at your neighbor and say, don't touch me no more. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know if you, don't touch me. Did you take a bath? Do you have germs? Always, everybody say always. Always let your spiritual perspective override your flesh directives. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by this? This widow, she had to decide. Everybody say decide. She had to decide. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust me? Am I going to let what I see dictate what I believe? And if you don't maintain a spiritual perspective, everybody say spiritual perspective. If you don't maintain a spiritual perspective, your feelings and your emotions will get the best of you. Amen. I would be in jail today serving time if I let my feelings get the best of me. Because sometimes some people need a good slapping. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Sometimes some people, they just need a good cussing out, a good one. Just a good one. My baby daddy won't do right if I don't cuss him out, Pastor. Well, well, well. This woman, this widow, had already determined that her life was over and that her son and her were going to eat this last meal and die. So I want you to think about the emotional feelings that she was experiencing, knowing that she was going to have to watch her son die. See, negative situations will sometimes pressure you to lean to your own understanding, or let me say it like this, or lean to your own feelings. But you don't let your emotions get the best. You can't do it because your emotions are like the weather, just like today. It might be snowing in Texas by the time we get out of church. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Listen, don't grow in age, but stay a teenager in your emotions. Don't do it. Why? Because they will keep you out of God's best. And had this lady did what she felt, she'd have never given anything to the man of God. Say amen to that. Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not with all of your feelings, but with all of your what, church? Heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. Because in all of your ways, if you will acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. So always, everybody say always. Always, always let your spiritual perspective override your flesh directives. Here's number six. We're almost done here. Be promise driven and not problem driven. Everybody say, be promise-driven and not problem-driven. Amen. In 1 Kings, I'm going to read verse 13 again just to refresh our memories, because it relates to the principle that I'm giving you right now. Because most of the time, we're not promise-driven, we're problem-driven. In verse 13, it says, but Elijah said to her, watch this now, don't be, what church? Afraid. Let me say this. If God tells you to not be afraid, then watch this. You have the potential to not be afraid. That means if God tells me to not fear, I have the capacity on the inside of me to not fear. So that means now, if I decide to fear, it's because I decided to fear. See, fear works like faith. It works through your senses. See, we have five senses. We have taste, and we have touch, and we have smell, and we have hearing. And what's one I'm missing? Sight. Well, fear and faith are just alike. How does faith come? Is hearing one of our senses? Absolutely. So guess what? Fear is the same way. It works through our senses. It works through how we feel. It works through how we see. It works sometimes through what we hear. And so Elijah said to her, go ahead and do what you've said, but just make me a little cake first. And then use what you have left over to feed you and your son. But here's where the principle or the promise comes in right here. Because see, what I love about God is once he tells us to not fear, what he's really saying is have faith. And so Elijah says to her, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, and I'm prophetically telling you today, mother. I'm prophetically telling you today, widow. I'm prophetically telling you today, people of God. He says, there will always, there's everybody say always. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers. Let me tell you something, church. God did it before, and why can't he do it again? There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and crops again. And here's the thing. Although most people's, they view giving as negative, it's always been God's way to help sustain us. Because he knew she needed to plant a seed to get a harvest. So she had to believe the promise. Everybody say she had to believe the promise. Yeah, she had to believe the promise that God made, watch this, over the problem she was experiencing. Everybody say promises come from God. So let me see. Oh, I got some time real quick. So let me just give you, I think, four or five ways how promises can come. I've talked this way before, but sometimes refreshing is good. Promises from God will come in several ways. Here's the first way is word fed. Everybody say word fed. And see, this one right here is amazing. See, God will put a promise in your heart while you're reading scripture. See, don't read the Bible for knowledge. Read it for God to speak to you. I'm going to say that again. Don't just read the Bible for knowledge. Read the Bible for God to speak to you. Years ago, I was reading the Word of God. And what's interesting is God used a story about another widow to give me instructions on what to do with my life at the time. I'm going to read the verse. This is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, New Living Translation. It says, one day the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elijah and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, I told you about this later, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. He said, well, what can I help? What can I do to help you? And Elijah asked, he said, tell me, what do you have in your house? That's why you can't devalue nothing that you have, because God can take the little and make it much. She said, I have nothing at all except a flask of oil. And verse 3 says, and Elijah said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. And then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. I said, God, why did he tell her to shut the door behind her? Because sometimes when God wants to do something in your life, nobody else needs to know what's going on. Shut the door. Everybody can't handle what you're going through. Some people don't want to see you married, and you trying to give them or tell them about what's going on. Shut the door. Let me put it like this. Shut your mouth. Amen. He says, pour the olive oil in your flask into these jars. Set aside each one of them until they're filled. And so she did what he told her. And then it says her sons kept bringing jars and filled one after another. Soon every jar was full to the brim. And then he says, bring me another jar. And she said to one of her sons, and he said, there aren't any more. And then he told her, and then watch this, and the olive oil stopped flowing. But here's the piece that God spoke to me years ago. I was reading this, and so when I read verse 7, it says, when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can live on the rest as leftovers. When I read the word, when I was reading that, the word sell jumped off the page. Sell. It's like, Lord, you want me to sell something? He said, I want you to sell cars. How many know I didn't want to do that? But I knew he wanted me to do it. Because when you're reading, sometimes God's word will jump off the page on you. And when I read that, it jumped off the page. So everybody say, word fed. Here's number two very quickly. Spirit led. This is when the Holy Spirit would deposit a desire or a promise in your heart. Here's a third one, prophetically said. And this is when a promise for your life is proclaimed through a prophet or a prophetic person and or confirmed through a proven prophetic voice. You can't believe everybody on the internet. Here's the fourth one, and that is desire fed. And this is when you and I can desire something solely based on a generic promise in God's word. So let's close now with our final lesson from the widow. Well, I have two more. Here's number six. What was unexpected to you was expected by God. Boy, I'm going to say that again. Because that's what throws us off in life. Things that happen that we weren't expecting. A bill that you got in the mail and you weren't expecting. Amen. A sudden layoff on your job and you weren't expecting. They cut your benefits and you already slim from the brim. Everybody say, what was unexpected to you was expected by God. It did not catch God by surprise. Whoa, where'd that come from? No, that's not how God is. You know why? Because God knows the beginning and the end. He knows the ins and the out. Unexpected situations give God, listen church, the chance to show you who he is and what he can do. Not only did God supply for her and her household and Elijah, but listen to this. He later raised her son from the dead. So now, watch this. She has a lifetime visible testimony of God's goodness. Every time she saw her son, she saw a miracle. So let's close with number seven. Don't let tragedy, don't let trouble cause you to redefine God still being good. Remember she said, oh, why you come here to point out my sins and to kill my son? But you know what? What we forget sometimes is that when life starts lifing, it ain't something that God necessarily does. Jesus already made us a promise. It ain't a positive promise, but he made it. He says, in this world, you gonna have tribulation. But then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. Amen. So it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If you can just trust Jesus, he said, I'll help you overcome that. The question is, do you want to overcome? Do you want to overcome? So we provided something that I think will be a blessing. You should have gotten this Mother's Day prayer card. And so if you're a mother, pull your card out right now. Pull your card out. It's 10:19. We got enough time to do what I'm trying to do right now. Pull out your card. Pull out your card. Now, if you're watching, maybe we can put the card on the screen. I'm not sure what's going on behind that camera, but very beautiful card. On the back of it, it says, tell us how we can pray for you and your children. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull a pen out. Pull it out. I know you carry a pen. And if you need a card, I'm sorry. If you need a card, raise your hand. If you need a card and you are a mother, raise your hand. And they're going to bring you some cards. Keep your hand up until you get yours. And so while you got your hand up, I need you to put your ears up too. Okay? And meaning that I'm going to talk while you're raising your hand. So here's what we're going to do with those cards today. Everybody say today. If you have a pen, I want you to write down. You don't have to put your name on it unless you want to. Okay? I want you to write on this card what we can pray for you about. They're coming. Her hand's over here in the middle. They're coming. Oh, got a lot of hands. Okay, well, praise God. Come on, ushers. We're going to move a little fast. Praise the Lord. We got men serving this morning. Give a hand clap to our men today. They look so good, so handsome. So here's what's going to happen. I need you to put your kids on the prayer list. Whatever you need prayer for them on. Pastor, I need my son to get off drugs. Whatever it is, you're going to put it on this card. And then in just a second, I'm going to ask you to bring that card and put it right here on this altar. And then after you put these cards on this altar, I am going to pray over them right now. Now, although I'm going to pray out there, I still have a lot of hands up. Y'all. If you get tired, put your other hand up. If you get tired, put your other hand up. Hopefully, yeah, well, come on, move. We got some right over here in the middle. We got some right here. All right. Anybody else? Okay, so that side is served good. This side, or these two sections need some cards. And then once I pray over all of them, we have an intercessory group that prays before each service every Sunday morning. They're here earlier than when y'all get here. I am going to give these cards to them and they're going to individually pray over every one of these cards. And I want you to get in agreement that whatever you put on this card, you're going to trust God to do. Can I get it? Can you get it? Y'all get that? Whatever you put on this card, we're going to trust God to do. Say amen to that. All right. So, go ahead, put it on your, write it down. Here's what I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing, I don't know how many it is, but I do know there's one particular mother. Your son is incarcerated. And you are worrying over this young man. And the Lord is telling me to tell you, worrying over him is not going to fix things. He's saying, give him to me. Stop worrying about it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And how do you know if you've stopped being anxious? Then it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart in mind. Amen. Are y'all writing? Are y'all ready? Okay, so if you're ready to bring your card, go ahead and start coming. And then if you say, well, Pastor Edmund, I'm not finished. You can put your card in the container on the way out if you don't finish. But those of you who finish, I just want you to come place them on the altar. And then I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I just heard the Lord say clearly. He said, just like you moving, I've started moving already. Did you hear that? He said, just like when you started moving, he said, I started moving. Some of y'all gonna get some reports when you get home that what you done put on the card done already happened. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In fact, if you're watching, whatever needs you have, put it in the comment section. Pastor, here's what you and the team can pray for me over. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hear the Lord telling some of y'all, fear not, fear not, fear not. He said, I got you. Hallelujah. 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 There's a single mother, you're having car problems, your car's down, you don't know what you're gonna do, and I hear the Lord saying, just like I supplied for that widow, I will supply for me, for you if you'll trust me. If you'll trust me, I will supply for you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give the mothers a big hand clap. They're coming, yes. They're coming, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of the mothers just put on their card, I need my son to get a job. He's draining me, God. He's draining me. Get him a job. The Lord said, I got it. I got it. Who did that? My son need a job. Who did that? You did it? Well, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, as they come, I thank you for all of the requests. You said, let our requests be made known unto God. And so, Father, your word says that the prayers of the righteous, the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that whatever they put on their card, we know it's your will because it's regarding their children. And we know that what they requested was good because, God, they love their children. So, Father, I come in agreement that everything on these cards are going to come into fruition. It may not come today. It may not come tomorrow. It may not come next month. But, Father, we're not going to put you on a timetable. Why? Because, God, you are a great God, and you can do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're not going to lean to our own understanding. And, Father, some of our children who we put on this card, their lives are going to go backwards. But, Father, it's not because life is life. It's because you decided to step in, God. And, Lord, as they go through trouble, God, these mothers will not rescue them. They will let their children go through what the prodigal son went through. That trouble in his life had to bring him to his knees. Trouble in his life had to help him see, oh, I need to repent. And so, Lord, we're going to trust you with all of our heart. And we're not going to lean to our own understanding. And Father, I thank you that every card that has been turned in and every request online, you see it, you hear it, and your word declares where two of us touch and agree on earth as having anything, you said we shall have it. And so, Father, right now, we believe we receive in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. So listen, with every head bowed and every eye closed.